get mad, I got good things, got you. Hoops and everything, get back, never get back to soup. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you choose.
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I'm your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Head-to-head grand final week, round 26, is upon us. And I know most of you listening won't have many trades, but we're going to try and have a think about how we can go through Supercoach to get you through your grand final this week. I've got three trades left, so I'm pumped up for a big round 26 and 27 to come. Joining me tonight is coach of Tubes' pods, Tubes. Tubes, I wish I could say the same for you, but I can't. You've got zero trades in the bank, and it's a big effort for you to be coming in tonight.
Yeah, I'm dead. I more than doubled my rank last week in going.
Oh, did you?
So I dropped from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I just looked. I looked for the first time. I had been avoiding it. I had an 11.58 and dropped from. I was inside the 2,000 and I dropped to 4,300. So.
You got a few other content creators coming for you.
It's a real spiral, and this weekend I've only got 15 players with all the restings and whatnot. So yeah, good to be here. Good to chat. My hopes are going to be really, really resting on my pod play from the weekend, which was the King Gutho, and I'm looking for him to come good against the Dragons and Tigers to finish the year.
Gee, that was looking good after 7 minutes of that game against the Broncos the other night when he was on 46 points.
And I captained him. He was on 46 in 7 minutes. I was dreaming of a 300, but not to be.
Still, two good matches for Gutho to come. A big pod play didn't quite work out this week, but still a couple more rounds left. Even though I think you're struggling a bit with 15 players.
Yeah,
not to worry. I had a 13.96, which dropped me down 22 spots to 250th overall. As I mentioned, I've got three trades left, so I feel like I'm sitting pretty well. Well set up for this week. I've got 19 pre-trades, so looking to make a couple of moves this week, at least one, maybe two, but it's played out pretty much as I would have hoped. Although on the weekend, I bought in Jerome Luai for his 24 for Cleary, which was pretty flattening, considering that was just such a big game for him against against the Raiders, but still pretty happy to be owning him against Souths this week and the Titans next week. They look like two very, very comfortable fixtures for the Panthers. Hopefully they can get back into a little bit of form. We should shout out Tubes as well, our fellow contributor Chris, who had a massive week, 1,562 points, which moves him up into 124th overall. He has no trades left either, though, so that could be the summit for Chris. But given the strength of his squad, he might be able to hang in there.
I think he's fine. His team looks all right this week. So,
top 100?
I think could still be top 100. He's coming after Quinton, lead of the Pod Unlimited group league, who's dropped to 21st overall. So Chris is still hunting it down for that 2.5% share in a horse with mailbag bloodstock.
Correct. He's still 300 points behind Quinton, so I think he's struggling to make that up, but or more, 340 points.
I don't know. He made up 300 on the weekend. So,
well, I think Chris is in a little bit of trouble this week. Just looking at his team, he's got no hooker. So he's got no trades to start with. He's got no hooker. He's got no halfback. So he's at least down to 16. But you're right. The rest of his team looks very strong. Plenty of green ticks. So I'm sure he'll be able to run out 16 very strong players this week. So good luck to you, Christopher. Set yourself. As you mentioned, Tubes, Quinton, Coach Deadhand Gang, leading the overall prize. Shout out again to the Mailbag Bloodstock. They've done an amazing job this year sponsoring. We can't thank them enough. Dicko is a massive supporter of the pod. And, that's a fantastic prize, which Quinton is still in to win. Quinton, I hear Quinton's name on about four different podcasts. He's going to win. He's in to win a fair few prizes. So I'm hoping he can hang on. I heard him on the Champs podcast today. He's winning that one as well. So he's in for quite a year, even if the 50K has probably slipped from his grasp at this point in time. We are obviously recording tonight on Wednesday evening. We're a bit delayed, Tubes, this week in getting the pod up. Bit of life stuff in the way. Wives away. You're away. But we wanted to get a pod in.
I didn't want to do the quickly. Pod.
Yeah, you didn't want to do the pod. Jono had mixed netball.
Yeah.
Dan tore his groin.
So we're battling through.
Yeah, it's we should give a shout out as well to Buzz, who took down the inaugural pod. Oh no, sorry, he took down the cash prize, but the grand final for the pod draft league is on this weekend.
Yeah, Dan and Buzz's babes. Good luck. Dan should win by 500 points.
500. We'll
see. the line's 150 points, I think, in that game.
What a beauty. All right, you can find us at NRL SC Pod Pod on X as per usual. Let's get into it, Tubes.
Send him off! Send the dressing edge off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical!
Obviously, not many people with many trades in the bank, so let's try and find those who do have a trade a bit of advice, starting at hooker. And hooker's a pretty interesting position this week, given the Tigers are on the bye, Appy's very heavily owned. Harry Grant is having a rest for the Storm, along with 11 of his teammates. Connor Watson returns, thankfully for me, but via the bench. Jacob Little is actually the most purchased player, Tubes, this week. Does that surprise you?
Not really. There's not really many options, and he's basically been averaging over 70 since being an 80-minute man for the last few rounds, so he's the clear option. He had another 73 against the Sharks on the weekend, so I think he's probably the main option to bring in. Maybe Reece Robson, but I think we were talking about it earlier that there's a scenario where the Cowboys can't do better than fifth and sixth for next week, so maybe he's a chance of a rest. But Reece Robson wouldn't be a bad option against the Storm at 520k, a bit cheaper than Little.
Yeah, you probably want to make sure he's playing next week. As you said, if the Cowboys beat the Storm, they'll finish on 34. They'll be on 34 points, and the only way that they could then move from fifth or sixth was if Manly were to beat Canterbury on Friday night. I doubt Robson has a rest, but yeah, it's probably pretty risky. Little, as you said, is the clear standout buy. Cookie has got the Panthers and the Roosters. It's his last couple of games at South. I think he'll do a fair bit of running and try and get a bit of attack, but he's probably a pretty risky play, I would have thought, with those fixtures. The one thing I wanted to kick around, Tubes, with you was if you don't have a hooker this week and you've only got the one, maybe two trades left, would you be happy to cop an AE if your AE is a relatively strong rather than making a trade at hooker and trying to chase a bit of upside elsewhere that can net you a bigger amount of points than just the sort of 30 that you might expect to make up with that hooker trade this week?
100%. You just take the AE. If that's your only missing player, so you do get an AE, I think for sure. I think a lot of people with Jerome Hughes being rested and maybe still holding Nathan Cleary probably might have a hooker and a half missing. And I think it's clear that the halfback options are the better ones to trade for. I just think hooker is not, unless you're luxury trades, unless you've got basically four trades left, I wouldn't be trading a hooker this week.
The other thing for the consideration there is, like, I get some people don't really love running AEs. It's just not really and to be fair, like, if you bring in a little, you can probably realistically expect 70 points. And if your AE is going to be like 30 points, then that's 40 points this week that you're going to make in that trade, which is not bad going. Like, you're struggling to make 40 points on most trades. The only thing caveat there is next week when there could be more restings. Like, we just don't know how these machinations are going to play out yet in terms of the scenarios next week. So you could make up, it could net you an extra 60 to 70 points next week, that trade. But a way to play it is if you are a bit worried about, if you're on the fence a bit there, I would suggest vice captaining like a Val Holmes or someone in those early games that play before you, the player that you're going to drop out. So Sam Hughes for me is the one that I'm probably going to have to play this week. But he's my second. He's in the second game, so I'm probably going to VC Val Holmes and try and get that, and then I'll drop Hughes and he'll become an AE for me. So if you can sneak an AE in, a vice captain in before making your AE decision, then I'd highly recommend doing that as a bit of a strategic play. Anything else at hooker you want to mention there, Tubes?
I liked your vocabulary range there, Matt. I was just looking up what machinations meant, and it's to crafty action or artful design intended to accomplish something usually evil end. So good use. Well done. Good putting Thanks. It in for those listeners that didn't know what machination meant also.
I got to admit, after I said it, I got a bit nervous if I'd used it in the right context. let's say that it was used in correct context. All right, front row forward, Payne Haas on the extended Tubes. Now, I'm a avid Patreon of the NRL Physio. He does great work, very much worth the $4 or $5 a month that I pay him. He suggests that Payne is going to have impacted performance coming back this quickly from a Lisfranc. Would you be tempted in my scenario? Because I'm sure that other people, I know people have got tons and tons of issues at front row. Curran is a godsend for most super coaches this week, but I'm going to have to roll out Sam Hughes as my front row forward two. If Payne is named to start in the 24 hours tomorrow, it looks like he gets through the captain's run. We get a bit of word. Would you use one of your trades remaining if you had two or three trades left to bring in Payne Haas in your front row and start him?
I think so, because Brisbane can still make the eight. And so you've got to be thinking, I'm no physio, as you just said, but you've got to be thinking they're trying to get the most out of him as much as possible the last two games. So I think he's probably worth the trade. I mean, it's similar to what you just said, though, before. If trading Hughes or trading whoever, if you do a VC, then you can, and they perform well, then you can cop the AE there and you won't be trading in Haas this week. But on a pure, is he worth the trade? I think that would be a good pod play for someone that's basically going to get 70 and always has upside.
The thing I like about Haas relative to that other example at hooker is that you get 2 weeks of Haas in a position where you're going to be upgrading that for 2 weeks. So it's, you know, I'm upgrading it from Sam Hughes this week, and then next week it means I wouldn't have to play Finu at front row forward two. So I'm probably getting at least 60 points worth of value there, which I think is probably worthwhile for a trade. So I'm probably looking to make that move if Haas looks like he's going to play, but I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to make the call before the Dogs game, whether I play Hughes or not. So hopefully we get that intel beforehand. But I think if they name him to play, I'm not too worried about him, his output. Like, he has so many runs. It's hard to see him not getting to 65 at a minimum. He's such a beast. So think the Bronx might give the Finns a touch up too, even though they're not the best side at the moment, the Bronx. All right, not much doing at 2RF. Katoa out, might hurt a few teams. KPP, otherwise we're hoping Fifita can bounce back. He hasn't been doing much lately. Good to see Gus Bus tonning up on the weekend with a hat-trick. But not much else doing
good for you.
At the 2RF. Yeah, good for me, exactly, this week. Halfback Tubes, Nico Hines, jersey number 22 for the Sharks this week. He's probably the most obvious trade-in for people with trades, I would have thought. Is he a must-have for those with trades?
I mean, I think so. I still don't mind Sam Walker against the Raiders and the Bunnies coming up. It's, I mean, that's still a pretty nice run. But I mean, if you can afford Nico and he's your last trade, it certainly would make sense. I don't think it's 100% lock and load though. I really don't mind Sam Walker for these last 2 weeks coming up as well.
There was a little rumor about Walker having an injury, but it seems like he's fine. I kind of agree with you. Like, Nico wasn't in great form, Supercoach wise or NRL wise, before he got that injury. And he obviously, that was a training injury. Good fixture against the Warriors this week, and then Manly away next week. I'd say Manly won't rest, even though there is a chance they can't finish any better than seventh and no worse than eighth. Maybe Turbo gets a rest, but I think that's you're getting a bit ahead of yourself trying to plan for that. I think you got to expect that Manly will be full strength next week. So they're not the easiest fixtures. He's obviously got probably more consistent big upside than Sam Walker, but yeah, that's got me thinking a bit tubes, to be honest. I'm definitely trading Sam Jai Gray to one of those two. So I've just got to decide which it is. Jerome Luai, as I said, I bought him in last week, which I'm happy. I was happy enough with the move. They had three incredible fixtures. They just happened to get beat by the Raiders. I think they'll demolish the Bunnies and the Titans, to which you would think he should be a major contributor. Is he someone that you would also consider tubes in that halfback / 5'8 conversation?
I don't think so. I don't think. I mean, you could. I think I'd go Nico. The Walker one just, I think, is more just based purely on the matchups for the next 2 weeks. But I don't know. It's hard because I'm not in that position. And I'm trying to look around, and I think
you're not in the mindset. You're not in the trade. You're not in the trade mindset.
I do think I'd go Nico, to be honest, as the most upside play. For the last two rounds, regardless of his form prior, and just sort of lock and load it from there.
It depends a little bit on your ambition or your aim as well. Like, going Nico gives you the best chance to make up rank versus Sam Walker, because Sam Walker's so highly owned, and basically the most that Nico can get owned by is 10%. So
can I throw another one at you? So most people would own, you know, some type of jewel. Dylan Brown or something like that. Cody. I thought it was pretty interesting that Cam Munster is named at 5'8 this week. Grant Anderson, his halves partner, no Harry. And obviously they're resting a few players, so they're not likely to beat the Cowboys, but the Cowboys defense hasn't been that good. Just bit of a, you know, if he's taking the lead, steering the ship around for the last 2 weeks while he gets his match fitness, could be a bit of a pod play. I do that's own fair, Munster, that's so I'm cheering at home. But yeah,
that's very pod.
Yeah, Munster. Last 2 weeks, no Harry, no Jerome. Where's the 20? Where's their 20 points coming from this weekend that they're going to score?
I like the concept, tubes. I think if it was just Jerome out, and like Munster was running the team around and he had to take more control, then yes. But I think there's too big a chance that they get beat by 30 or 40 here, in which case that he just doesn't see much ball. And he's attacking upside, severely limited.
I could see a game where it's like 44 to 32, something like that for the Cowboys. Maybe not, but
maybe. The Cows should have loaned the Storm Chad for this game. That would have helped both teams.
I think the Chad's down in Bondi already, I think, working on his tan.
Yeah. Jake Clifford got 128 a couple of weeks ago, tubes, before the bye. He'd be a pretty big pod.
Yeah, but it's just stupid. No one's bringing in Jake Clifford. Munster's an actual,
I'd bring in Clifford before Munster.
Yeah, all right.
Can I bet you one of these steak dinners that Clifford outscores Munster for the next 2 weeks?
Sure.
Okay, so that'll be three steak dinners, I'll owe you.
Yeah, I'll get them eventually. I had a steak dinner tonight, actually.
Very nice.
This is a beauty.
What sauce you go for?
Mushroom.
Oh, no good. No good at all. All right. Anything else in the halves there, Tubes?
No. Nah. No other 5'8". For those that are
Birdo?
Lucky enough to have more than 7'8". Nah, not with them. They got a couple of tough games, don't they? Manly and Cows.
Not the worst.
I would be if you're lucky enough to have more than 17 and you're talking Sid V starts this week, I'd be playing Dylan Brown against the Dragons. No, he didn't go too well on the weekend, but I like the matchup this week, the Eels versus the Dragons. So I'd be playing him as well.
Yeah, I've got to decide for Dillbags for a Sid V start, so I think you're right. He just needs one attacking stat and he should get a 50 or 60 at a minimum, and obviously could get more than that as well. It's just so frustrating how much a ball ass he's getting. He's got a terrible medium to short kicking game as well, Arcee. I don't know why they get him to put those bombs up. They're just awful. Awful player too. Anyway, sorry about that rant.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the socket. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
Center wing. Look, I think it's just if you don't have those guns and you want one, pick one up. Pods, Lomax is probably the clear pick with those two fixtures he has left. Joey Manu dropped a 34 on the weekend. I still think he's not a bad buy, especially now no one will be buying him this week. One I'm really keen on, Tubes, is Dane Gagai. He's gone ton. He looks amazing. That right-hand side for the Knights has been looking lethal with Ponga spending a lot more time out there. Greg Marju saw very little ball again on the left, which is very frustrating for all his owners, including us. Bradman Best comes back into the team, which obviously helps his chances, but I still don't think that'll mean Ponga will be spending as much time out there. So I think Dane Gagai, with his base and his work, I find it hard to suggest that he won't get another ton in these last two games.
Yeah, I mean, I like Gagai. Clearly going much more to the right, as you said. He's always had a really good floor. So at worst, you're bringing in someone for a, 60, 70, worst case, with clearly some upside with that Knights draw. For those that own Ponga, like you, it's a good sort of, double down as well. I probably would prefer Daniel Tupu. I think Sualii not there is good for him. Gets more ball. He won't be there for the next two games. I think they're pretty locked and loaded that they'll be playing just about full strength. Obviously went well on the weekend. He's only 1.5% owned in the top 1%. But I mean, Gagai's 5% owned, so both pods. But I don't mind the Tupu play with the Raiders into Bunnies as well.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Who else at center wing have we got? There's not too many others. I'd probably avoid, if you don't own Karaz, there's no point. I wouldn't be buying him while he's playing in the centers. Skelton is an interesting.
I'll tell you who I wouldn't buy.
Yeah.
If anyone doesn't, he's only 12% owned. He was my big pod, big bad Brian To'o. Just doesn't look like getting a sniff of ball in the Panthers attack as it is at the moment. Maverick Geyer and that left edge is certainly snuffed out.
Casey McLean.
Any ball movement there, Casey McLean, that they've been having along there. So who's named at left center this week for? Is Alamotti back?
Alamotti, yeah.
Anyway, I've owned Big Bad Brian for 3 weeks and there's nothing there that's obviously he's got good base, but there's nothing there that's given me great hope for him from an attacking point of view. So 12% owned, but I'd be avoiding him if you're looking at him as a pod play.
I'll tell you who I don't mind as a pod this week. at centre wing, and I haven't heard him brought up anywhere else, is Herbie Farnworth. He's expensive if you're playing there, given he got a big ton a couple of weeks ago. But they got the Broncos and the Knights to finish. Not the worst matchups for Herbie if you're looking for a pod centre wing as well. Taruva back on the wing. I wouldn't be picking him up, even though he can go large. It's just probably just too low a floor for me there. Anyone else you want to, any other names you want to chuck out there, Tubes?
No.
No. No. I think that's about it. The only other one at centre wing was, yep, not Matty Timoko.
No.
No. The one I do want to talk about here, Tubes, which I have heard a few people talking about sitting or selling, is Ruben Garrick. He obviously hasn't hit massive heights lately. He had a 61 on the weekend. They've got the Bulldogs and then the Sharks at home to finish. I think that it's a bit of madness to be doing either of those things this week.
Why?
Well, he's gone 60, 60, 60 the last 3 weeks, right? Prior to that, he was averaging close to 80 in games that were unaffected by HIAs. I just think that he's still a top six or seven centre wing, and if you own him, you play him and you trade some. If you want to make a trade at centre wing, trade someone else. I just don't see. I know they're playing the Dogs, not the easiest matchup, but he would have been, you know, Critter's out. He's marking up on the, he marks up on the other side anyway, but so he must be marking up on, who's there? It's Bronson Sherry. I just wouldn't be selling him, or and if I've got him, I'm starting him.
I think there's a world where people aren't starting him this weekend. Like it is a tough defensive matchup against the Dogs.
Yes.
And for both Manly, but also then Garrick. I think if you're just looking for those upside plays, you could easily look at sitting him, and in a way it ends up being an antipod just because he's owned by 95%.
So yeah, okay.
And he's been started by 85% of those teams currently. So it's not the worst antipod play. And if you're not going to start him, then obviously there's only two rounds left. Who are you looking to sell? You're looking to sell people that you're not going to play if you've got those traits. So I can see, yeah, I'm okay. Obviously playing him, but I can see an argument to not play him this week as an antipod play, depending on what your other 17 looks like.
Yeah. Okay. You've sold me there. I don't mind it. I actually wanted to, yeah, antipod Garrick generally a little while ago, but couldn't because he was in the team and I thought it would be a waste of a trade, but people who have antipodded him have done very well, given he's gone 50, 60, 60, 60. So, well done.
Like Manu, just like currently Manu's sit v start, and I don't know how accurate these ones are, is 50-50 basically.
That's just bench. So, like, he can be a reserve on the bench.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is I don't mind if you're making those types of decisions, I don't mind going to Manu, who's a lower owned. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, is looking for what you're trying to achieve. Some of those pod plays that obviously are still big upside people. Not the worst.
What I forget what I was going to say. All good. Let's move down to fullback. Ponga, pretty clear captain choice this week, along with Teddy. If you owned both Tubes, who would you be captaining?
Ponga. I wouldn't actually. I'd pack captain Teddy for sure. Teddy's like, honestly, I haven't owned Teddy all year, and you can't get him beat at all. Like,
how good is he?
Like, how good does he just look? Like,
he looks untackleable at times.
Yeah, Raiders this weekend. I'd lean Teddy if I owned both of them, for sure. Just feels the absolute. He's got the best floor, and just as good a ceiling as Ponga, basically.
Yeah,
Ponga might have a slightly better ceiling, but not certainly, like maybe by like 20 points. And he's probably got a 20-point lower floor than Teddy. That's so. I'd lean Teddy.
Yeah, I think that I'm just with you there, even though I do think Ponga is going to absolutely tear shreds off the Titans. Ponga got 96 last week, I think, and he did it without doing much at all. He had a line break try assist. I think he had another try assist, but he really didn't get out of second gear. I think this could be Ponga's week, or I'm certainly hoping it is. He'll be my captain. Tube, something that's been floated for people who do have trades and not a lot of problems is the Turbo to Ponga trade. Now, the reason why people are interested in this move is because Turbo has a tough matchup versus the Dogs this week, and then into the Sharks next week. And obviously, I think there is a chance that he rests, but it's not guaranteed. I'm definitely not making that trade because I've got Ponga and Turbo already, so I can't do it. I could do Turbo to Teddy, but I'm not going to do that this week. It's the same if you were to do Turbo to Ponga. I think that whilst Teddy and Ponga are both likely to score more than Turbo this week, I don't think that that's worth the trade. I'm going to hold a trade or maybe two for next week. And if Turbo does sit, then I'll just go Turbo to Teddy next week. Or you could go Turbo to Ponga next week as well. I think Sharks at home is still a good fixture for Turbo. How would you be approaching that one if you were in the scenario?
Look, I don't think you trade Turbo this week. As you said, it's not worth the trade to anyone. There's not enough upside. And it's
Turbo could outscore. Turbo could outscore anyone this week.
Exactly. It's not worth it.
It's not like you're locking in. It's not like you're locking in with a Payne Haas, Sam Hughes to Payne Haas. You know you're getting 40 points there or 30 points. This is you could get negative 100.
and then Turbo gets named next week as again. In saying all of that, I don't think it's that clear cut that it's Ponga. I'm doubling down on my pod play. Honestly, Gutho, he's owned by one team in the top 1%. They play the Dragons this week. He's kicking goals. And as you said about their attack at the moment, a lot does go through him. They play the Dragons this week. And I'm not saying get him this week. But next week, if you were to trade Turbo or Teddy that was rested, I don't think it's clear-cut Ponga when Gutho is playing the Tigers in a wooden spoon matchup, who obviously everyone's just been scoring massively against the Tigers from a fullback point of view. That's all I'm saying. So I wouldn't be trading Turbo to anyone this week, and I'm certainly not advocating trading Turbo to Gutho. But I'm just making the point that it's not that clear-cut.
No.
By one team in the top 1% is
that's because they all dropped out. That's because they all dropped out. That's because they all dropped out of the top 1% when they bought him.
No, let me read. He's gone 120, 107, 70, 72. Plays the Tigers and the Dragons the next 2 weeks.
No, I agree. It's not. I still like if I'm making a purchase there though. It's hard. I liked it from you because it basically fits your profile. Tubes pods.
We'll come back to it. We'll come back to it next week. We'll revisit it. But I wouldn't I wouldn't be trading at fullback this week, I suppose, is the consensus. No. Especially if you've got two of the big three.
I think that's spot on, Tubes. All right, Tubes. I think that'll see us out for tonight. Nice short, sharp pod. We're going to come back next week with a few awards, I believe.
Yeah, potties. We did the potties last year. We're looking at, I think we'll try and get every pod main contributor back on at some point. And we'll look at doing the potties, covering off the year that was, a few different awards to hand out. And wrap up sort of all the head-to-head finals and stuff like that. So it'll be a beauty.
Should be good. It's been a big year. The pod's done pretty well. I know you've had a tough couple of weeks, but most of the contributors have had a really good year this year. So it's been a lot of fun. So looking forward to a big final episode next week. All right, Tubes, thank you very much. Enjoy your week, and all the best to the all the best to the super coaches out there in their head-to-head grand finals. If you want to hit us up, make sure you do on NRLSC Pod on X. Thanks, Tubes.
You beauty.